The only thing that's surprising about the dollar's reserve status is that it still has it. You know, despite everything that we've done, we haven't lost that privilege. But I think the current financial crisis, which just started, is going to ultimately deliver the death blow to that status. I think the amount of inflation that the Federal Reserve is going to unleash in order to try to counteract this financial crisis. I mean, people are still reluctant to call it a financial crisis. That's exactly what it is, except it's bigger in scale and it's going to be far more impactful than the 2008 crisis. And it's probably going to result in even more aggressive and reckless monetary and fiscal policy. And this time it's going to take the dollar's reserve status down with it. So I think that's going to really complicate things here in the U.S. because that's going to send inflation much, much higher and American standards of living much lower. I mean, there's always a risk for every country that issues a fiat currency. Hyperinflation is always a risk. The question is, how high is the probability? You know, because not all risks end up, becoming, to fruition. So we could avoid it. But I think the risk is a lot higher now than it's ever been. And in order to avoid that outcome, it's going to require some very difficult political decisions and choices that need to be made to avert that outcome. But I think even if we manage to avoid hyperinflation, you know, something like Zimbabwe or, you know, Weimar Republic, Germany, some of the really big examples where, you know, you need wheelbarrows full of money, you know, to buy a pack of gum or something like that. You know, it's a possibility. It's hard to handicap how high a probability. But I do think that we're going to have very high inflation for many years to come. I mean, elevated double-digit inflation, and where the first digit may not be a one, could be larger than a one, right? So it's going to be very substantial inflation, even if it doesn't technically qualify as hyperinflation. But that's not, you know, ruled out. So you have to be vigilant and be prepared, because that worst-case scenario may in fact be the scenario that ends up playing out. Thanks to the Fed's policies, as well as government regulation and the moral hazards that it creates, the entire banking system is completely insolvent, including the too big to fail banks. All those banks would fail if the government stepped out of the way. But the reason our financial system is so vulnerable and so leveraged and insolvent is because of government. And now you have politicians trying to claim that the problems for Silicon Valley Bank or Signature Bank were the result of a lack of regulation or of deregulation, when in fact the opposite is true. It was excessive regulation that is the reason that the banks got into this predicament in the first place. And of course, without the Fed holding interest rates so low for so long, they wouldn't have even been able to have loaded up their balance sheet with all this debt. But all the banks have done this. I mean, think about the mortgage market. How many Americans over the last, 5 or 10 years have successfully refinanced their mortgages to have rates in the threes? That is a huge gain for the borrower, but that comes at an enormous loss for the lender, who is now stuck with that low yielding paper in a much higher and rising interest rate environment. So all the banks are going to lose a fortune as a result of owning these mortgages, and they will fail unless the governments bail them out by creating more inflation, which is ultimately how the bailouts are paid for. In fact, the Fed has already returned to quantitative easing, whether they want to call it that or not, but the balance sheet is up about $400 billion since this financial crisis began. And it's going to get a lot bigger in order for the Fed to postpone the pain of the crisis and socialize it into a different form of pain, which will be higher prices, because that is what's the substitute. So on the one hand, the government says, don't worry about your bank account, we're going to guarantee it. But on the other hand, you now have to worry about the value of the money that's deposited in your bank, because even though the bank might not fail and you won't lose your money, when you go to spend your money, you won't be able to buy very much, because your money is going to lose its purchasing power. There's no question that just like there's going to be a run on the banks, meaning people are trying to get their money out of the banks, they're going to be running to put it into gold, because no money is safe now in the bank, because either your bank is going to fail and you will lose your money, or your bank won't fail because the government bails it out and your money will lose its purchasing power. So either way, you should withdraw your money now, but don't stick it under your mattress because it's going to lose purchasing power there too. You've got to convert it to real money. You've got to turn it into gold. Now, if banks could offer you a high enough rate of interest to offset the inflation, then that might be an incentive to leave the money in the bank. But the banks can't do that because they can't afford it because they're broke, because they've already locked up all their deposits in long-term, low-yielding mortgages and treasuries. So they can't pay you enough to offset the loss of inflation, but they can't stop you from withdrawing your money. The problem is they don't have the money because the money has been lost. That's what happened to Silicon Valley Bank or Signature Bank. So as more people rush to withdraw their money from banks and use it to buy gold, the Federal Reserve is going to have to print more money to enable those withdrawals, which is going to create even more inflation, which is going to accelerate the appeal of gold and cause even more people to deplete their bank accounts to buy gold. And then it's a vicious circle of, you know, collapsing banks and runaway inflation. We will absolutely return to a gold standard. I mean, a gold standard has been the monetary system that has dominated through most of recorded human history. And I don't think that that's changed. I think we've temporarily experimented with fiat currency. The experiment is going to end in disaster, and it will prompt a return to what works, and that is gold. And whether it's governments or the private sector that lead the way, ultimately that's where we're going to go. And we don't need governments to remonetize gold. The private sector can do it all by itself. In fact, gold was money in the private sector before it became money in the public sector. You know, it became money for the kings because that was the money that everybody wanted. That was, if you wanted to pay your guards, you needed to pay them in money that they could use to buy food. And the farmer wanted gold. And so that's what the kings collected in taxes. They collected gold so they could pay their soldiers. But I think what would happen now is private enterprises, private businesses, whether it's a bank or any other institution, doesn't even have to be a financial institution, but it has to be capable of holding custody of gold. It can then digitize, tokenize that gold, put it on a blockchain or other, you know, form, and allow individuals to own those tokens and then transact in them on the internet instantaneously for a low cost. They can price goods and services in grams of gold. They can pay for and be paid in grams of gold, and gold can circulate easily around the globe as money, as a unit of account, as a medium of exchange, and as a store of value. And so I think we're headed in that direction. As far as what the Chinese may do, to the extent that they may decide that they want to back their currency by gold, make it redeemable into gold, I think that would be a very prudent move on their part. If they're interested in having the dominant currency in the world, that would be a way to secure that.